Real Presence Live.
I just want the Lord to show me his love so that I can love the people that he places in my care as a priest.
Local.
That's an empowering thing to make a difference wherever we are.
Engaging.
You're culturally Catholic. You have the things, you have the knowledge, but has it penetrated the heart? Mm-hmm.
Live.
Freedom of religion implies the ability to take that faith out into public life and to live it and to share it with others.
Good morning and welcome to Real Presence Live. This is Father Jason Leffer, your host. We are broadcasting from the studios in Grand Forks, North Dakota. This beautiful, almost spring day, but we have to get through a number of inches of snow first. How about we begin this broadcast with a prayer and blessing from Almighty God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, our Father in heaven, we praise and glorify you. We worship you. We adore you. We ask to be your great glory. Heavenly Father, send now your Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, to come down upon us, in us, and through us. Anoint us. May our hearts, our minds, our ears be open to receive your holy word and become your holy word. And we ask all of this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, Gregory.
Good morning, Father. How are you this morning?
Not too bad. How is everything in Fargo?
It is pretty good. It's a very nice morning. A little bit icy, but other than that, a very nice morning.
Yeah. So what are we looking forward to this morning in Real Presence Live?
So first up this morning, we'll be talking about bad habits. We all have them, so what do we do about them? Is it possible to overcome them? Jennifer Anderson of Catholic Charities North Dakota will share her thoughts. Father, why do we try to live out our Catholic faith when it's so hard sometimes? Isn't it easier just to give in to the pleasures of the world? Okay, don't answer that quite yet. Mary Sharon Moore will give us her take. And here's something a little strange. A nun, a priest, and a pope giving us advice on being married in family life. How does this work? The Diocese of Crookston's Deacon Mark Creechy will explain. Fasting. I say, why do it? All I get is more hungry throughout the day. We'll hear what the Diocese of Rapid City's Father Jonathan Dillon has to say as well, because I'm guessing you don't just want my opinion. And, as you probably know, Father, there is one fear that every man has to grapple with in his life. And that fear is, well, you'll just have to wait till we join Jay Wickham.
I'm afraid to know.
Yeah, I'm actually interested to hear what that is. So that's what we have lined up for our show today.
Excellent. Sounds great. Well, those bad habits. Well, Gregory, I'm glad that you have some bad habits. You know, I might be the only person who doesn't.
Oh, very humble, Father. Very humble.
Oh yeah. I conquered humility a long time ago. Oh, but boy, those bad habits, they haunt us, don't they?
Definitely.
It seems like when you conquer one, you get 10 more.
Yes, it's kind of a never-ending battle.
Well, is Jennifer with you in studio?
Yes, she is.
Can you hear me, Father? Good morning.
It is so great to have you this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me. So you're in Grand Forks and I'm in Fargo, so you can hear me though, right? We're all set to go?
Yep, we can now.
Okay, we're last minute here, so all right. Well,
you know, I'm just so glad that we found somebody that doesn't have any bad habits to teach the rest of us what to do with them.
We are all sinners. We are all creatures. We are all beautiful children of God, but we all have bad habits.
Let's just start with what do you think we should do with them? Do we simply embrace them, or do we learn to live with them? What do you think?
No, we don't embrace them and live with them. The first step in regards to bad habits is actually acknowledging that it is a bad habit. And the nice thing is in our church is that we don't need to know everything. The Catholic Church is a great moral compass in between the catechism and our Bible and all of the teachings of a faith. You know, we can have some spiritual guidance. So bad habits come in all different forms and sizes, from biting your nails to addictions. Perhaps it's someone else that has pointed it out to you, but most likely you are aware of it first. And many of my clients, there's a lot of guilt and shame. You don't like the habit and have tried to change the habit. And yes, some do embrace it and live with the bad habit. But as a therapist, I can tell you that one truly does want to change, but they feel helpless in regards to knowing how to change it.
You know, it's so true. Sometimes in our brokenness, we'll let our bad habits define who we are, and this is such a negative way of being. You know, I was once told, like the definition between shame and guilt, and I was told that shame is that I'm wrong, where guilt is I've done something wrong. Would that be a helpful definition when thinking about bad habits and the struggles with them?
A year ago I spoke at the Redeemed Women's Conference, and I did a breakout session on Catholic guilt, and that has been such a popular topic that I've been going around to all the other area churches doing a little women's retreat. The next one is coming up the end of April in Wahpeton, but for many, some people have been trying to overcome them for years, and shame and guilt, I call them the evil twin sisters or something, or twin brothers. They go hand in hand. But for those that have been really struggling with that, you know, habits continue on because we are receiving a benefit from it. There is a vicious cycle of it, such as a trigger and then a thought and a feeling and the behavior, which is the habit. And then the results then from that habit, there's a short-term relief. There's something that, positive or negative, and a lot of times in our nice Midwestern areas, that there's this passive aggressiveness and this shame and this guilt and this we don't tell anybody. But the short-term result from that bad habit, there is a feeling, a positive feeling sometimes, but then leads to that guilt and shame. And that either leads to stopping the bad habit, if we finally had that quote, come to Jesus, enough is enough, a while, or until another trigger occurs or that habit becomes habitual, as in the common thought is, well, I messed up and I might as well continue and do it more and more. And during this season of Lent, it's very common that those feel that way. Now, we are human, flawed sinners. God gave us free will. We're not robots. And with that free will comes some bad habits along the way. It's some learned behaviors. And what I find in therapy is that there's a lot of learned, maybe inappropriate, or habits that we've learned from our family of origin.
You know what you're saying there, Jennifer, is so true. Like, we're not going to do something that we don't get a reward from. So even in the midst of something bad, there's a good that's disguised in there, and we're using that good, but the end result, the overall result, is destructive behavior. So how about those who have had small victories, but then they fall back into the bad habit? What do you say about that?
Yeah, well, we can learn from those small victories and what happened to cause that fall back into our old habits. I mean, habits didn't happen overnight. So by asking ourselves what worked, what got in the way of falling back into the bad habit, and then we start again. So one should ask ourselves when we have fallen back into those bad habits, you know, ask ourselves what was going on around me when I did fall back, such as, where was I? Who was I with? What time of day was it? Maybe even think about our five senses that can trigger that as well. I work with a lot of people with trauma, and smells and sounds are very powerful. So then we can, during this vulnerable time of stopping the bad habit that we have recognized, maybe, you know, when or where or who I was with that happened, perhaps we avoid for a while we're vulnerable, and replace that person, place, or time with our vulnerability that has challenged us with something that is positive. We can't just leave that negative habit, whatever it is, and leave it empty. That's where we're most vulnerable to just turn back to that habit that we've been turning to all these years.
Absolutely. Now, if a person is, they're listening right now, they're saying, okay, I want to, maybe I want to embrace this, or I'm willing to take a step today to address a bad habit I'm dealing with. What's the first step that they can do to even get a small victory in the battle?
Yeah, well, you know, acknowledge the problem. First, ask for help to turn to God, then others. One can't do it alone, and God alone is in charge of this. And I have so many people that say, yeah, I said it in confession, and then they have a yeah but, as if, you know, they've been absolved, they've gone through what you know, the priest has acknowledged and told them what to do, but it's like they have this string attached to whatever was sent up to God. So turn to God, clean house, I say that in quotes. We have too many distractions to then make excuses for the bad habit to be the quote thing that helps me, and then get your team in order. I work with a mind, body, and spirit perspective. So the spirit, body, and mind, three-legged stool team. So team Father Jason Leffer would have a spiritual director, would be always in contact with a primary care physician and a trusted friend or somebody else, maybe a counselor, addiction counselor, whatever that is needed for that help with that bad habit. So getting your team in order.
Yeah, no, the resources are so very important. How about if I'm a person out there right now, and let's say, I'll just take a simple example of, been eating too much, I'm overweight, my health is affected, I know it is, I know I need to do something, but I just can't get off the couch. I just can't take that first step. How do you just get that initial thing going?
Yeah. So being serious and committed to it, because we have a lot of people say, oh, this, you know, think about the New Year's resolution and you know, the diets and the gym memberships go up, you know, during then. Think of that in Lent too. So be accountable to God and at least one person to be serious and committed, and make a list of why you want to change. Come up with some small goals within that big goal of breaking the habit, then the goal doesn't seem so overwhelming. The habit didn't happen overnight, so yet we expect things to magically happen all at once or yesterday even.
You know, how important is it to have like a long-term goal range or something in the distance that you could say, I want to be a better person by time I reach that destination? Or I mean, is it important to have something to look forward to in life so you can do these little things to get there?
Yeah, you know, having, you know, breaking the goal into little steps and then rewarding yourself, and it doesn't have to be something that costs anything. And then we've done a lot of things where I've there's been some, you know, think of something positive that we have done in the past. And it's been something that we have accomplished, such as finishing college or buying our first home. The big thing is going to reconciliation. So during this season of Lent and you know, and in Advent, the opportunities for us to grow spiritually is so important. So as a clinical therapist at Catholic Charities North Dakota, I see clients with various situations that are coming for me for help. Many times it's, you know, maybe a perpetual problem that people are coming to in reconciliation, that their priest has said, hey, you know, I think maybe get some more help here and continue with reconciliation, but also coming to see me or some other Catholic therapist. So the first thing that I do is when I meet with them is to complete a very extensive assessment. And what I find a common thread, Father Jason, is that the clients that don't have a strong faith, or perhaps no faith, have a larger hurdle to get over to reaching the goals in therapy. That for those that do have a relationship with God, it seems to be a lot easier. So that first session is to triage the issues, where my recommendations are to get that team, like I mentioned, God, your therapist or some trusted friend, spiritual director, and your medical primary care physician, to get those balance in place. So the opportunities that the church has for us to grow spiritually is so vast.
This is Real Presence Live. We're with Jennifer Anderson, a counselor for Catholic Charities North Dakota. And we're speaking into the issue of bad habits in the season of Lent. What's possible here to, I guess, attack them or overcome them or push into them? So it sounds like what you're saying is a possible first step is that sacrament of confession. Now, somebody, I hear you saying about the team, putting your team together. If somebody's listening and they're not used to reaching out for resources, or, I mean, could they call Catholic Charities, or what would be a good step of putting your team together?
Yes. So Catholic Charities North Dakota, we're here in Fargo, but we have therapists all over North Dakota, and I know that our listening area is reaching all over the place. So if you're in our listening area, 701-235-4457, but there's also for catholictherapists.com. And also there's some various resources, and I can leave my contact information on Real Presence Radio if I can do some referrals. There's 701-235-SEEK. So if you need some referrals for counseling, I'm kind of the assistant to a lot of you priests, because it's like, oh my gosh, what should I do here? And so we make
help.
A good team. So reconciliation, is so important. I'm a convert to the church, and the sacrament is so healing, Father Leffer. And, you know, the stations of the cross, so just placing yourself at the foot of the cross and going through the agony that Jesus did, that's like, wow, he did that for us.
You know, as you're speaking, what's striking me is there's obviously a difference between spiritual counseling and psychological counseling, both absolutely necessary, and how they complement each other, can work together. And so the season of Lent, or season of Advent, and these kind of penitential seasons that the church has, do you see, as a psychological counselor, do you see value in these things?
Oh, most definitely. I see a lot of clients that specifically come and ask for a Catholic therapist, that there's so many seculars or New Age type of things that are, to be honest, is pretty wacky out there. And so without God in our lives, I just find that I'm an instrument, and I find it a blessing and a ministry, and to help those that are struggling. But we can't do it alone, and so working with yourself, Father Leffer, and other priests as our spiritual directors, and then having somebody like myself or other Catholic therapists, but also letting go, letting God. Jesus, I trust in you. Rosary, scapular, our weapons. Prayer and meditation, you know, adoration. It's kind of like my big girl, big boy time all place. It's like sometimes I'm just sitting there in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I'm like, oh my goodness, what should I do? And it's like almost every single time I got to just quiet myself down and listen to God and get out of the way, and I get the answer.
Yeah. Now, okay, let's say somebody's out there and they're going, hey, we're already halfway through Lent. I failed at my good intentions. I haven't been able to make any progress. Oh, it's almost over. I might as well just let it go. What kind of word could you give them this morning to say, no, it's not too late?
Start today. So many will feel, I messed up. I'll do it tomorrow, or next week, next Lent. It's already halfway done, but why bother? But get to the Blessed Sacrament, get an adoration if you can, talk to your priest, pour it out, make a list, pick one. What's the one big thing that's really bugging me, that's just, and triage that. So if it's safety, or, you know, something with your, you know, getting to heaven, obviously, I mean, I need to focus on that at first. Is this causing my habit to preventing me to getting to heaven, or preventing me good health, or causing me to, quote, lose my mind?
In this, so maybe give people some courage, and so that it's worth it. What's the beautiful thing at the end? What's it like to experience overcoming a habit and turning it into a virtue? What's that like?
Well, as I mentioned before, we can think of things that we have accomplished in our lives, and we feel really proud of it. That yeah, I did that, and so I see too often people are enabling and codependent and focusing on changing other people. You know the acronym JOY: Jesus, others, yourself. But we need to make sure that we're mentally, physically, and spiritually healthy in order to help others. So with God, God is the only one in charge, and the beauty of us as humans, that with God all things are possible. We just need to get out of the way and stop saying, yeah, but, acknowledge we have a habit that we want to change. Picture yourself along the path of Jesus' suffering. He died on the cross for us 2,000 plus years ago for us today, and we can change, and with God all things are possible.
This is Real Presence Live. We've been speaking with Jennifer Anderson, who's a counselor with Catholic Charities North Dakota. And Jennifer, your name and image is up on the Real Presence website, so anybody wants to go there can see, and also a simple search of Catholic Charities will bring up the information. For anybody who's listening and would like to take that first step or make that phone call or start forming their team of support, to deal with their bad habits, to turn them into virtues. Anything in closing here that you'd like to encourage us with?
I just want to encourage everybody to know that we are human and that God loves us, warts and all. That to the guilt and shame, I personally, professionally, we all have those issues. And Jesus will join us wherever we are. I love the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the Mary Undoer of Knots, just let go, let God. Jesus, I trust in you. I just kind of nod and rock myself and just give it all to God.
Jennifer, we are so grateful to your ministry as a Catholic counselor. You're invaluable to the church and supporting the priests and the lay people. And we just ask God's blessings upon you.
Thank you, Jason, Father Jason Leffer. I really appreciate that. This is a ministry. I purposely work at Catholic Charities because of the faith. I cannot live without working and living my faith 24/7.
God's blessings to you.
Thank you.
Well, there's words of encouragement for us, and now we have new hope to take on our bad habits. And speaking of things looking forward to, how about a little sainthood? Okay, that's a great idea. That's a good goal to shoot for, but let's be real. You know, in the moment, it's hard if we can't overcome habits. How are we become saints, right? We're all fallen, quite sinful. So why even try if we're bound to fail? After all, it's a lot tougher to overcome a bad habit than become a saint. But we're going to explore that on the other side of this break.
Stay with us. There's more Real Presence Live to come on the Real Presence Radio Network.
The Wanzek Family Foundation has proudly supported the mission of Real Presence Radio since 2004. With their help, we've been able to continue spreading Jesus Christ's message of hope throughout North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota, and Wisconsin. The Wanzek Family Foundation is dedicated to supporting Catholic initiatives and programs like our weekly local show, Real Presence Live, heard on Tuesdays and Thursdays with the encores on Saturdays. Thank you to the Wanzek Family Foundation for being a part of this family of faith and hope.
I guess my favorite part of listening to Catholic radio is listening to people like Dan, converts, that I'm just always so amazed. I'm thinking I need to be stronger in my faith because of them, because they seem to know more than I do about my own faith that I grew up with, I was born with. I'm one of the Catholics that never thought of not being a Catholic. I always think of some of the parables that the person that was always good or whatever, but not that I was always good. Isn't necessarily the one that gets taken care of, you know? It's the guy that strayed a lot and came back. And I think of that every time the Prodigal Son is read, because I can identify with that in different levels on both sides. I think that's one of the things I enjoy most, listening to the answers, Catholic answers, because I always want to know more about my faith. I wish I did know more.
It's March, a month where you just never know what you're going to get out of the weather.
Yeah, it comes in like a lion.
Or more like a lamb, Steve.
And your coworkers really start to get that spring fever.
Plant that here, put that one over there.
Eli, don't you think it's a little too early to start planting your flowers? Also, I might recommend using a flower pot instead of the carpet.
But one thing that is constant is the love our Lord has for us as His beloved sons and daughters, despite our unique personalities. We are His family, and we are your family. Real Presence Radio, your family of faith and hope.
You're listening to Real Presence Radio. Now, back to Real Presence Live.
Welcome back to Real Presence Live. This is Father Jason Leffer, hosting on this beautiful spring day with all the new snow on the ground. It is so beautiful out there. The thought that comes to my mind is clean or fresh as new snow. And the season of Lent is purifying us and helping us to receive that Easter joy. So here we are now. We're talking about overcoming bad habits and the work of Lent. And, you know, that all needs to head somewhere. And hopefully where it's heading is helping all of us to become holy or to be saints. And I'll often ask my little kids in the parish, like, who wants to be a saint? And maybe one or two will put their hands up. But then once you talk about what it means to be a saint, they realize every one of us should be desiring to be a saint. To be a saint simply means become who God created you to be, right? Now, I'm not saying being a saint is easy. It can be pretty challenging out there. So this morning we have Mary Sharon Moore, who is with us. And she's going to and give us some encouragement here about the lives of the saints. Good morning, Mary Sharon.
Good morning, Father Leffer.
It is so great to have you with us this morning. Now, I think you're from the West Coast, isn't that right?
Yes, from Oregon, fifth-generation Oregonian.
Well, yeah. Congratulations. I spent a number of years of my life out there. And are you familiar with Mount Angel Abbey?
I am. I love that place.
Dear friends of mine as well. And I think Kathy Schneider, who works with the Ishkan community, I think that's a good friend of yours as well, isn't she?
Yes, and talk about holy people and saints.
Right.
She's really living the gospel, and she inspires me.
You know what I love about the, you know, they talk about degrees of relationship and so forth, and I didn't know you before this interview here. I did a little, you know, simple search on the internet to find out who you were, and I was like, wow, our circles have, I'm amazed we haven't crossed paths before this, because we have so many things in common here. So I'm excited to hear what you have to give to us this morning here. So now, we all struggle with temptation. It seems like it's easier to give in to temptation, go the way of the world. Why shouldn't we just go the way of the world?
Well, you know, there's a temptation to do that. But if we are baptized, we have an interior agitator. We call that conscience. I call it the movement of the Holy Spirit, the agitation of the Holy Spirit to incite us to choose God in that time of struggle, that moment of temptation. And that conscience isn't something we can just turn off. It actually is that stirring of the Holy Spirit. We can't walk away from it, thankfully. And what we know of human beings across the board is every person is born with a conscience. And so in that sense, we might say the Holy Spirit is nudging all of humanity toward holiness. But we who are baptized have a particular ownership of that, a particular responsibility for that movement toward holiness.
You know, as you're describing that, makes me think of, you know, the Psalms. I know Psalms are very important to you. And
Oh, yes. In
those Psalms, it talks about, you know, being a mule, you know, it describes being a mule. And we're not mules. We actually have a choice in this thing, don't we?
Yes, we do. We do. In fact, I maintain, Father Leffer, that the only real freedom is the freedom to be ourselves in God. Everything else is license.
Amen.
So we
Amen.
Think of the licentious life if the licentious life is the life that does not choose God, that the only true freedom is the freedom to choose God.
Boy, you're getting me excited here. So, so what you're saying, I mean, what I'm hearing you say is that the more you become who God created you to be, the more likely you are to become a saint.
Yes, but it's a saint with your particular name.
Okay.
You know, I think saints are a work in progress. I think everyone listening this morning is a saint who's a work in progress.
Okay, so what would you say, like the person who's, you know, maybe they've been failing at Lent all along here, and it just, you know, we're halfway through now, and there's always that temptation, like, oh, I'll try next year, you know, mm-hmm. and so here we're talking about being saints, and they're all they can think about is I'm just a failure. What could you say to them at this point? Why should they be interested in pushing through temptation?
Well, I will share what I have experienced myself. And that is, I stopped setting my agenda for Lent. Instead, I went into prayer and said, Lord Jesus, how do you desire to worship your Father through me in this penitential season? And I kept it wide open. And the lessons, the opportunities, the temptations, the graces came, not because I set the agenda, but because he had the freedom to worship his Father through me.
You know, that's such a beautiful thought, because I know I have a Benedictine background. I think you do as well. That's at the heart of those Psalms, which is the voice of the church and the voice of prayer being the expression of Jesus to his Father. Could you develop that a little more, what you mean by that?
Well, this goes to the root of my whole understanding of prayer. I don't pray because I need to pray. You know, it's noon and I need to pray. I pray, even though I pray the Psalms, the morning prayer every morning, I don't pray it because it's time to get out of bed and pray the Psalms. I pray because Jesus invites me to be with him so that he can pray through me. I'm not the driver of any of this. I'm not the driver of my movement into holiness. Jesus is, and his Holy Spirit. So I let Jesus lead the way.
That's so beautiful and it's so inspiring. Now, how about what happens? Because it isn't just Jesus who's interested in you and maybe has a plan for you. Mm-hmm. There's also the Father of Lies, and he's interested in you too, and I think he has a plan. So how about when he's there whispering in your ear and trying to prevent you from receiving the invitation of Jesus? What can you do about that?
Well, I will share with our listeners this morning that the mature Christian life requires development. It requires paying attention so that when those temptations come in to the easy slide, it requires that we be able to discern that smells off or that sounds off, where we can stop and say, wait a minute, Jesus, where are you? Every step I take either takes me toward love or away from love.
Can you tell us?
So I actually have to pay attention.
Could you tell us how can you tell from your own experience, how can you tell the difference between the voice of the invitation of Jesus or a temptation from the Father of Lies? How do they sound differently?
The simple way that I do, and the simple way I will share is, it either leads me toward love or it takes me away from love. It might mean being selfish rather than generous. It might mean telling a lie rather than being honest and humble and true. So I'm either moving toward love or away from love. Satan doesn't know how to participate in love. And my work as a saint in formation is to participate in love. It's a daily awakening. It's a daily vigilance that I have to keep.
You're listening to Real Presence Live. We are with Mary Sharon Moore, who she's an expert in spiritual things, a powerful laywoman here, powerful in the sense of being very humble in the Lord. And she's speaking from her wealth of experience in the journey, letting Jesus speak through her to the Father. And we're speaking about holiness or becoming a saint here. I'm gonna step out on a limb here. I'm not sure, but I want to ask you, you know, today is the feast of Saint John of God. Are you familiar with him at all?
A little bit. You might be more familiar with him than I am.
Well, I wanted to bring him into the conversation because he's such a unique saint. And nowadays, you know, as we're sitting here speaking about spirituality and health and holiness, and he struggled with mental illness, and his whole thing was helping people with mental illness. And I know dear to your heart are the basic people on the streets and so forth who suffer so much. And he is such a powerful intercessor. He took this complete brokenness of mental illness and he let it work for him to become a saint. I mean, I find that so inspiring. So Mary Sharon, you're going to be in our area here soon. When are you coming to visit us?
Well, I will be, my first event will be on Saturday, March 18th, and then the parish mission itself, a three-day parish mission, will be Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, offered in the evenings at Sacred Heart Church in Roseau. I'm looking forward to being with Father John Kleinwachter again.
Yes.
And then Monday and Tuesday mornings, the sessions for sessions 2 and 3 will be presented in the morning as well. So the event comes with a parish mission journal. You'll actually get a 16-page journal with all my slides, all my talking points. I've got a ton of stories. I believe that I cannot preach what I have not already lived. And so I've got some very engaging stories. Good scripture, just immersion. It's going to be wonderful.
Now, I don't know if this is with your permission or not, but I found a number of your retreats are on YouTube. And I went through one of them last night, and I found it very inspiring and very powerful. So for the listeners, if you're interested in what Mary Sharon Moore has to offer, you can actually see her. She's on the internet. She's somebody. So so obviously you've been to Roseau before, if you know Father. Do you enjoy the area of Roseau?
Actually, the whole Crookston Diocese has sort of taken me in and enthralled me. He was in a different parish, but he has such a pastoral heart that it is just sheer joy to work with him.
My aunt and uncle live there, so I'm a little biased too. But I love the area; it's very very beautiful up there.
Yes.
So now, for those who are able to make the parish mission, should they be doing anything in preparation for this encounter?
Well, the title of the parish mission is Anointed for a Purpose. So I would encourage people to think and reconnect with that anointing that they received in baptism, that they received in confirmation, that sure anointing in the Holy Spirit. So they can reconnect in that way.
Now, it's the season of Lent, and in the season of Lent, we really do focus on this renewal of the life of the Holy Spirit in us, that divine spirit. We're headed towards that baptismal font, renew our baptismal promises on the Easter Vigil. The church fathers all tell us that if you do Lent right and you arrive there in the right spirit, when you make that renewal of the baptismal promises, you become new again, as if on that moment when you were first baptized and the divine spirit comes into you. I mean, what greater motivation does anybody need? And so here's a golden opportunity with Mary Sharon, who will be there with her wealth of wisdom to help inspire, to help encourage, and to teach and guide and lead us into this divine life. Mary Sharon, could you give us a closing sentiment or something about just that journey with Jesus and the Psalms and the Father here?
Well, it's all personal. With God, relationship is personal. It's not a across-the-board thing. It's personal, unique. It's a love that calls us forth. And in our Christian experience, our Catholic sacramental experience, it's being called forth fully, richly anointed in the Holy Spirit in order to touch the world which God still so loves. That's the path of holiness.
Mary Sharon, it's obvious that the anointing of God is with you. I just pray for God's blessings upon you and all the good folks who will be there at the mission. It would be so great to have you in our listening area. So,
thank you so much.
There is hope to overcome our bad habits. There is perseverance through it. We hope to get to heaven. Maybe we won't become canonized saints, but you know, heaven is heaven. We all want to go there and be together in the glory of God. And for many of us, that path comes through the vocation and the sacrifice and the joys of marriage and family life. So I want you to think for a moment about who you look to as an example of a good husband or a good wife, a good mother, a good father. Okay? Think about these things, what you've learned from them. Okay? Now ponder. Over this break, and get this, there's going to be three consecrated, religious, ordained man, and ordained men and women will actually teach us most of what we need to know about being married in a family. That seems really odd that people who aren't married can actually lead us into that vocation in a clearer way. So if you want to find out how that works, stick with us across this break.
Live, engaging, and local. That's Real Presence Live on the Real Presence Radio Network.
Programming on Real Presence Radio is sponsored in part by Mayo Pharmacy in Bismarck. At Mayo Pharmacy, we're proud to be here to serve you. We're pro-life and pro-family. We respect all human dignity while providing for your individual needs. And we're now remodeled with new Catholic gifts for all ages, including Mystic Monk Coffee, Holy Heroes Adventure Guides, and Cat Chat for Kids. Mayo Pharmacy, located at 303 North 4th Street in Bismarck. You can call 701-223-2424.
I think all we have to do is look around. People are hungering for God, and they don't even know it. People are so lost in our world that has tolerance for everything except for Christianity. And about a year and a half ago, we sponsored a couple into the church, and right at the beginning of RCI, we said, tune in to Catholic Radio. And they did, and they're on fire for their faith. They go to every Catholic event, even before they join the church. They're daily communicants. And the wife prays the rosary with Catholic Radio, and it's just, people want that so badly, even when they don't know it. That's what they're missing.
This is Sister Bridget from the Diocese of Rapid City.
This is Rowdy Benson from Sacred Heart Parish in Morristown, South Dakota. Thank you for listening to Real Presence Radio.
Welcome to an EW10 Bookmark Brief. I just finished interviewing Chantel Howard about her book, The School of the Family. Now, Chantel, tell us, what is this book about?
I wrote The School of the Family with the intention of sharing through the avenue of a story, as well as deep reflection, the different elements of the family from childhood to motherhood and beyond, and how the school of the family, literally, as God designed it, is the place where we get to be formed in our faith and our identity and our Catholic identity really takes on shape. And we have to really understand that the school of the family is not something that we can run from. Mm-hmm. It's part of our life.
Now, when you say school, a lot of people don't like school. Is this something that will help them, that they will like, or should they be afraid of it?
Oh, you'll love it.
Sounds good. And A Renaissance of Catholic Formation, The School of the Family, Chantel Howard, thank you so much. Books available through the EWTN Religious Catalog. Look for the entire interview coming soon to EWTN's Bookmark. And this has been an EWTN Bookmark Brief, and I'm Doug Keck. Thanks for joining us.
You're listening to Real Presence Live on the Real Presence Radio Network. Join in the conversation on our Facebook page and be sure to like us for more great Catholic content. Now, back to the show.
Good morning. Welcome back to Real Presence Live. We are broadcasting from St. Mary's in Grand Forks, North Dakota. It is just an absolutely gorgeous day to be alive in God's kingdom. And what a great show we've had so far. It makes me think of one of my favorite saints, Father Eugene Mazzanod. And he was an Italian saint, and he had this group of brothers who'd go with him, and they'd go from town to town evangelizing and helping out. And he would always say the same thing when he went into a new place. He would say, "Okay, men, here we go. We're about to come into this town. Our goal here is try to help people to become human. If we can find anybody who is interested in becoming human, we'll help them learn what that means. And then maybe some of them would be interested in becoming Christians and learning what it means to be Christian. And then maybe some of those would be interested in becoming saints. But first, we need to start by becoming human." And this morning's program, it makes me think of that. We start off with Jennifer Anderson there about the human nature, the broken nature, bad habits to good habits. What can we do? There we are talking with Mary Sharon about, you know, becoming saints, that holiness. And now that second step, you know, about becoming Christian, how does this work if you take your human nature? Okay, well, how about this? You know, we got our vocations, right? And probably the majority of people are called to the vocation of marriage, right? So you would think if you want to know about the vocation of marriage, you should really consult somebody who's married and married well. But how about if we consult a nun, a priest, and a pope? Do they have anything that could teach us about marriage, the vocation of marriage, or becoming saints by being good human beings in there and as Christians becoming saints? So we're going to look now to a nun, a priest, and a pope, three great saints who can teach us many things about marriage. Now, in order to do that, we need somebody who's going to interpret all this for us, and that's Deacon Mark Creechy from the Diocese of Crookston. Deacon Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Father. How are you today?
Oh, it's a glorious day. How could anybody be bad on this day, right?
Yeah, and I've enjoyed your show up to this point. It's been very interesting.
Okay, there's a strange concept. People often say to me, you're a celibate priest. How could you tell us anything about marriage, Father? So Deacon, are you married yourself?
Yes. My wife and I have been married for 33 years, and we have two adult children, and they're both married and grandchildren. But growing up Catholic, I always heard that. What can priests, what can sisters tell us about what it means to be married, what it means to have holy marriages when, you know, I know throughout my life, I'm sure throughout yours, there have been these great witnesses of love. The sisters that taught me at Sacred Heart, the priests that have been in the various parishes that I've been a member of. There's a great richness in the celibate life that we can bring, of course, into marriage and family life. But in the end, you mentioned it in the last segment, we're all called to sainthood. Maybe not canonized sainthood, but we're all called to sainthood. So the church has this beautiful history of looking at saintly people and looking to them for guidance. And so in my series of talks that I give, parish mission that I give on three great saints for marriage, family, and life, yes, I went with a priest, a pope, and a sister.
So who do you want to start with?
Well, let's start with the pope. And I don't think anyone's going to be surprised to hear that it's Pope St. John Paul II. You know, he's said to be the saintly pope of marriage and family life. And, you know, I've never seen this documented, but I've heard other people talk about how St. John Paul II, during his papacy, spoke and wrote more about marriage and family than all the other popes combined, because I think the Holy Father saw what was happening and what was going to be happening. A real prophet in terms of what was going to be happening to marriage and family life and human sexuality within the context of marriage. But then, of course, you know, you have the entire teaching of the theology of the body. You have Familiaris Consortio. You have all of his talks on marriage and family life. With that massive amount, you got to narrow it down. And so with when I reflect on St. John Paul II, I talk about how a sacramentally married couple, are called to form a communion of love. You know, he talked about a communion of persons. And a communion, of course, not just of husband and wife, but husband, wife, and God. God is at the center of every marriage.
You know, another thing that St. John Paul the Great gave us or did for us was he emphasized seeking out those who are to become saints or through the canonization process, married couples, married people, married, and examples of that. I think, you know, what he brought forward, for example, St. Teresa of Lisieux, her parents, for example, were one of those that he brought forward and the sacrifices that they made and so forth, just to focus on that family life and let people know, hey, It's your average, everyday person out there laboring through their vocation of marriage and in the world. We're called to make the world holy, you know?
Which is the perfect segue into the sister, because the sister is none other than St. Therese of Lisieux. You know, St. Therese grew up in this rich domestic church that, I mean, her parents were full of faith. and brought it into their home. And, you know, so no wonder why her sisters went on to profess life, you know, and even after her mother died, her father, you know, continued to model that holy Christian image of the home. And I think with her then going into her convent and the great amount of mercy that she showed her fellow sisters. And so I talk about mercy and forgiveness in the context of St. Thérèse of Lisieux, something she learned in the home, as you can read in her her autobiography. her autobiography, as well as then something that she experienced in the convent. So I bring those stories out to talk about how do we in our marriages, in our families, and then, of course, in our life with other people, how do we show mercy?
You know, what you're making me think of a number of things here. So in our last segment, Mary Sharon, she shared with us beautifully how Jesus was inviting her to be, through her expression of the Psalms, Jesus communicating with the Father. And that made me think, that's like marriage. You know, a spiritual union between her and Christ. She's the bride, he's the bridegroom. And so there's that spiritual marriage. So a consecrated virgin, St. Thérèse, she would have all kinds of authority to speak about the married life based on her own spiritual reality or expression. Or yesterday evening, a young lady was asking me questions about, well, when we die, you know, when we go to heaven, you know, our mom and dad, are they still married in heaven? Will they be married in heaven? And it was this opportunity to speak about, well, not in the way that we are here, that we're all fulfilled in Christ to God the Father. It's like we're all married to Jesus. And I could see her imagination, her eyes, everything kind of waking up in a new way, thinking of marriage as like this roadside pointing to heaven, that it's a sign pointing to something greater. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, how did St. Thérèse indicate that, like that spiritual union? Did that have anything to do with the vocation of marriage?
Well, I think in Thérèse, when we go back to St. John Paul as well, you know, because with Thérèse, she talked about the loving image of her father and her father and mother, although her mother died when she was quite young, but she talked about the way they showed love. They radiated love. And she just didn't see a love between a husband and a wife. She saw the love of God coming out from her, you know, radiating from her parents. And St. John Paul II wrote about how marriage is to be this reflection of God's love in the world. And so in various, you know, columns I write and talks I give, I talk to couples about, you know, the love that you share in your relationship is not meant to merely be something that you exchange, but it's meant to be something that you witness to the world.
You know, this is Real Presence Live. We're with Deacon Mark Creechy from the Diocese of Crookston, and he's totally involved in marriage and the family from not just his own personal life, but on the diocesan level. And he's been instructing us here on a nun, a priest, and a pope, and their involvement with marriage. Well, how about the priest? Who's the priest you have for us?
Well, and the priest, and with all due acknowledgement that John Paul was a priest as well. But yeah, the priest though is somebody that, you know, when I bring him up, people go, "Oh, that makes sense, doesn't it?" And it's Saint Maximilian Kolbe. Now, if you look at what Saint Maximilian Kolbe does with his life, I mean, it's so rich. We could talk about him for an entire segment. But I focus on the one of the final pastoral acts that he did. He gave his life as a gift to a family. So when he's, steps forward in Auschwitz and takes the place of the condemned man who says, "What about my wife? What about my children?" And he comes forward and says, "Take me instead." That man has a family. He witnesses to all of us that our life and marriage and family is meant to be a gift. That when we get married, it's not supposed to be, what do we get out of this marriage? What do we get out of this family? But how do I make my life a gift to this marriage, a gift to the family? And he, of course, gave the ultimate gift of love. Much like talked about in Ephesians 5 for husbands, you know, where husbands are supposed to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Well, we're not called to martyrdom as Maximilian Kolbe, thank God. But Maximilian Kolbe was willing to do that for one family that he didn't even know. What a great model for all of our families.
Now, Deacon Mark, tell me, I've heard that the man and his wife and children were actually at the canonization for Maximilian Kolbe. Is that true or accurate? Do you know? Did that happen?
Right. Yeah. When by God's providence, of course, he survived Auschwitz. He was reunited with his wife and a daughter. As I recall, his two sons both died in the war. And then at his canonization, at Maximilian Kolbe's canonization, he was there, Thaddeus was there, along with his daughter. His wife had died before that time.
Okay, so the other thing that comes to my mind, is, as you're describing this so beautifully, is to realize, you know, it takes a man and a woman to be married, obviously, but it also takes a priest, mm-hmm. you know? And it's almost like a three-person relationship here where, and as a married couple, if you have a relationship with a good priest who's interested in the things of God and married life, boy, that does so much for your marriage to bring it alive and to speak challenges and all that. But also from the celibate priest perspective, mm-hmm. if you have relationship with good, holy, married men and women, wow, does that call forth a vocation of your spiritual fatherhood and call you to really embrace celibacy and to be faithful to what you're asked of as well?
Yeah, I've heard this from so many priests, what you just said, Father, that how our marriages, reflecting God's love to each other, empowers and inspires celibate priests and sisters, you know, in terms of their ministry to the church. And, you know, and you talked about the three needed for marriage. And of course, I also bring up in this parish mission that I give, Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, famous book from the 1950s, Three to Be Married, Husband, Wife, and God. And we need Christians to understand that we're not in it alone, nor should we try to go it alone. It's not just the two of us in this marriage, but God is at the very center of this marriage every day of our sacramental life.
Now, Deacon Mark, not only do you witness to marriage and giving talks and so forth, but you live it and so forth, but as a deacon, you're kind of right there on the edge, both the marriage vocation and also holy orders. Is there some kind of insight that you can give us in about 30 seconds here that from your unique experience of being an ordained deacon?
Well, it's a blessed gift that God has given me to be able to be in to have both holy orders and as well as then the sacrament of matrimony. The insights, you know, I've only been ordained since June, so get me back in a year, Father, so I can give you something more. But it is so enriching to be able to work with young couples getting ready for marriage, to work with newly married couples as they work through those first months of marriage, and to be able to do that then in as a deacon in the church is just even more wonderful as I go around the diocese and also giving these parish missions like I'll be doing next week in Holly, Minnesota.
And when is that mission?
So I'll be preaching at the Mass on Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday nights at 7:30 in Holly. And it's not meant for just the people at the church there, but anyone that wants to drive in from the area.
Deacon Mark, thank you so much. God's blessings to you, your ministry, your marriage, your family, your grandchildren, to your parish, and the missions that you give and so forth. May they be abundantly fruitful. And thank you for opening our eyes up even more to the gift of priesthood and religious life and how it fits in with the two vocations here of marriage and consecrated religious life.
Thank you, Father.
Now, we're heading to the top of the hour, which means it's time for a snack break, halftime, right? We go get the goodies. Well, when I say snack break, what I really mean is on the other side here, we are going to be speaking about hunger or self-imposed hunger, or in Lent we call it fasting. And I'm glad everybody else has to fast and I don't have to, because, and if anybody knows me, you know I never pass up food. Oh, this whole thing of fasting, we have Good Fridays coming up and mandated fasting. And another day with our stomachs growling for food. So what's the point of it anyway? Stick with us and find out on the other side of the snack break.